In the year 258, Emperor Valerian began a persecution of the Christian church. And in that persecution, the Roman soldiers discovered Pope Sixtus, along with the seven deacons of Rome, celebrating Mass in one of the catacombs, one of the places where the Christians were buried. Immediately, they executed Sixtus along with most of the deacons. But one of the deacons they spared, Lawrence. And 4 days later, they would end up executing him. But first, he was brought before the prefect of Rome because they knew that he was the treasurer of the church. And he told them, go out and collect all the money, all the treasures of the church, and bring it to me. And so Lawrence went out from that place, from the prefect of Rome, and went out. And he went to all the poor people he had been giving the treasures of the church to in his work as that deacon, gathering all of these people together with him. And then he goes to the prefect of Rome and says, this is the treasury of the church. The prefect of Rome naturally got very angry seeing all of these poor people. And as we know, famously, he had St. Lawrence barbecued to put him to death. And today's gospel asks the fundamental question, what is it that you value most? What is your treasure? In other words, Jesus is asking us, what do we want most? We tend to answer questions like this as the way we think we should, rather than often genuinely. Well, when we're with a doctor, and Jesus is our doctor, our best bet is to answer honestly, so we can begin the true healing process. The fact is, we all need a heart transplant. We all need a new heart, one that desires God and the things awaiting us in heaven more than any earthly thing. And in this gospel, we can see these three fundamental movements, the picture and the price of the kingdom of God, along with the peril that reminds us we must make a choice. The gospel goes and paints a picture for the kingdom using the images of a buried treasure and a pearl. Both the treasure and the pearl, symbols are used elsewhere in Scripture, are used even by Jesus himself elsewhere. And studying those other passages are helpful for fine-tuning our understanding of the gift of the kingdom that Jesus discusses today. The concept of treasure buried in today's gospel is mentioned elsewhere by Jesus, as I said. He goes and says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Although we tend to think of treasure as a bunch of stuff, the image of treasure that Jesus uses in today's gospel is more of a symbol for the heart, for our deepest desires, because our treasure is linked to our heart. One of the greatest gifts that God offers us is the gift of a new heart, one that values most what he offers, holiness and himself. One of the most fundamental prophetic texts of the Old Testament announces what Jesus has fulfilled. Oh, my people, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You will be clean. I will cleanse from you all your impurities, all from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He's describing what we received in our baptism. In our baptism, we have received this new heart. We have received that promised treasure of heaven. That the great treasure of the kingdom of God gives us this new heart. By choosing it, our heart is changed. To have a new heart is to experience our desiring changing. We become less focused on the passing worldly things. and more interested in the lasting treasure of heaven, of the kingdom of heaven. And we begin to love and whom God loves. We begin to love holiness, justice, chastity, goodness, righteousness. We begin to love our spouse, our family, the poor, even our enemies, the way God loves them. Our heart becomes alive with joy and zeal for the kingdom of God. And the evangelical spirit impels us to speak what we know is true. That yes, the buried, hidden treasure of the kingdom of God unlocks our hearts, bringing new life coursing through our veins, through our very soul. In choosing this treasure, we get a new heart. For where our treasure is, there will also be our heart. And the second image coming from the wisdom tradition of the Bible, in which holy wisdom is likened to a pearl. Here too is described one of the most precious gifts of the kingdom of God. A new mind through holy wisdom. What is this new mind? It's one that begins to think more and more as God does. One that shares his priorities and vision. One that sees as God does. It is the mind of Christ. And with this new mind, we see through and reject worldly thinking. The priority and agendas of our world become obsolete to us. We come to rejoice in God's truth, to grasp more deeply its beauty and sensibility. That what a precious gift a new mind is. Thinking with God, having that mind of Christ as our own. And so here are two precious manifestations of the kingdom of God, a new heart, a new mind, which is really another way of saying a whole new self, a whole new identity, that God is giving us a new life, a new self, a complete transformation from the life of old, from the life of sin. Instead, that life of grace. And what are these offerings of the kingdom worth? What do they ultimately cost us? The answer is clear. They are worth everything. That regarding the hidden treasure and the pearl, the gospel says, Jesus says, both men went and sold all they had for them. That they were willing to forsake everything for these precious items. We need to be careful there to make sure that is the case for us. Notice that these men are eager to go and sell all they have, to forsake everything else. They did this not so much because they had to, but because they wanted to. They wanted to pay the price, did so with eagerness because they were so enamored with the glory they had found. Here is the gift to seek from the Lord. A willing and eager heart for the kingdom of God. So eager that we're willing to forsake anything and everything for it. For ultimately, the kingdom of God does cost everything. We will not fully inherit it until we are fully done with this world and its claims on our heart. The gift to seek from the Lord is not that we forsake the world with sullen faces and depressed spirits, as if we're paying taxes. No. The gift is to seek that we, like these men, be so taken by the glory of God, by his kingdom, that we're more willing to set aside anything that gets in our way. That we're so eager for the things of the kingdom that the loss of the world's intoxicating trinkets means almost nothing. This is the gift. A heart that appreciates the true worth of the kingdom. That such no price is too high. That scripture says elsewhere, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Yes, the kingdom of God is more worth than any price we must pay. And ultimately, we must pay all for it. that pray for an eager and willing spirit that comes from appreciating the unsurpassed worth of the kingdom. And the final movement contains a warning about our upcoming judgment, of the peril we all face. That ultimately we either want the kingdom of God or we don't. And hence our Lord speaks of a net that captures everything, referring to our summons to judgment. That those who want the kingdom, have accepted its value and price, will be gathered in. And those who do not want the kingdom of God, do not accept its value, will be cast aside. And clearly, there are some who do not value the kingdom of God, do not value God and what he teaches us. That they may even go and say at times they desire heaven, but it's one of their own making, not the real heaven. That the true heaven is the kingdom of God in all its fullness, as Jesus teaches us in all the teachings of the church. The kingdom of God includes things like forgiveness, mercy, justice, chastity, love of our neighbor, love of our enemies, celebration of what is good, true, and beautiful. The kingdom of God has God, not man, at its center. Yes, there are many who neither want nor value some or even most of these things. And when the net is drawn in, our decision is made final. Though we may wish for a fairy tale ending, one in which the opponents of the kingdom suddenly love it, God clearly states that at judgment, one's decision for or against the kingdom of God becomes final. It is fixed forever. And that he will respect that decision that has been made. Better choose the Lord today. For tomorrow might very well be too late. And thus we are warned that judgment looms over us. That we ought to be earnest in seeking a heart from the Lord that eagerly desires his kingdom, appreciates its worth above all people and all things. Then in the end we get what we want. Either we have chosen the kingdom or not. That we need to pray for this new heart, for this new mind, this new identity that we have already received, to foster it, to grow in that knowledge of Christ, becoming more Christ-like by living out the sacramental life as we are doing, being here at Mass right now. But we ought to consider ourselves warned. There is a decision we must make. Do we want the kingdom of God or not?